The CBS World News Roundup, presented by Kent, the cigarette that gives you good taste from the Kent filter and good vintage tobaccos. Light up a Kent, and you've got a good thing going. And now, the news.
Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend in New York with the CBS World News Roundup. American warplanes today carried out new strikes against communist positions in South Vietnam, and they flew at least six bombing missions in North Vietnam. A military spokesman in Saigon reports that all planes returned safely despite heavy anti-aircraft fire on one of the raids. In an echo of a previous war, Dien Bien Phu once again came under attack. And in an echo of another previous war, Lieutenant Colonel Lloyd Scooter Burke, now a battalion commander, has been wounded in action, suffering shrapnel injuries and a broken leg. Burke won the Medal of Honor in Korea. President Johnson and his advisors meet again today as they consider what should be done about the war in Vietnam. Neil Strausser reports from Washington.
The time for decision is now approaching, according to the carefully measured bits of news being released from the White House on the past 2 days of meetings on Vietnam. New Secretary Bill Moyers says a lot of deliberation is behind the group now, and the next stage involves what to do about these recommendations and deliberations. Yesterday, the president heard the military manpower recommendations of each of the service secretaries and commanders, and there was also discussion of the reserve. Today, presumably, the decision-making begins when top members of the same group reconvene. Officials deny charges the decisions were all but made before Defense Secretary McNamara's trip, but some observers persist in seeing the whole procedure as a sort of elaborately orchestrated war dance aimed at preparing the American public for an inevitable beefing up of American forces in Vietnam and a call-up of reserves and guardsmen to replace them. However, one new factor that may not go unnoticed by a president bent on consensus was introduced yesterday when Republican leaders Dirksen and Ford served notice they may attempt to make something of a political record on the reserve issue before giving their support to the president. Neil Strausser, CBS News, Washington.
As those talks continue at the White House, speculation builds up around the country about the reserve and National Guard units that may be called to active duty. A lot of the speculation, and right now it's positively no more than that, centers on the 42nd Infantry Division of the New York National Guard, made up of men from the New York metropolitan area. We talked last night with the division's commanding general, Major General Martin H. Forey, and asked him about the attitude of his men.
I don't think there's any panic. Certainly this is a serious matter because it's going to affect the lives of the men in the division, just as it affected many Americans in other wars. Education will be disrupted, careers will be disrupted, family life will be disrupted. But I don't think there's any reason to become morose about it. Most of these people are in the National Guard. They elected to do so. While it may be sobering news that there's a possibility of call-up, certainly there's no panic. And as a matter of fact, I think the morale is very fine.
General Forey's 42nd Infantry Division is, needless to say, universally known as the Rainbow, a name given it in World War I by Douglas MacArthur. It's one of the divisions that the Defense Department has given priority status as immediate reserve. The United States has apologized to France for inadvertently, Washington says, violating prohibited airspace over a French nuclear plant last week. The United States promises to take steps to prevent a recurrence. A disagreement is on record between two other major powers, J. Edgar Hoover and Nicholas Katzenbach. The FBI director publicly took issue with statements made by his boss, the Attorney General. Katzenbach said the FBI and other government agencies fighting crime have a great deal of pride and organizational jealousy. Said Hoover, there's not a scintilla of truth to that as it pertains to the FBI. In London, the conservatives have shaken off the shock over Sir Alec Douglas Hume's resignation as leader and are looking for a man to succeed him.
Brighten up your taste, brighten up your taste.
Light up a Kent, you've got a good thing going. Light up a Kent, for real good taste. Light up a Kent, you've got a good thing going.
Good tobaccos, the Kent filter.
For good taste going when you light up a Kent.
Get away from dull, flat-tasting cigarettes. Brighten up your taste with the good taste of Kent's vintage tobaccos. Flavor blended to taste milder, brighter, more refreshing.
Good tobaccos, the Kent filter for good taste going when you light up a Kent. Brighten up your taste, brighten up your taste.
Brighten up your taste, light up a Kent. And you've got a good thing going.
The Central Intelligence Agency, one of the communist world's favorite whipping boys, is under attack today in Soviet Russia. From Moscow, here's the report of Walter Lister.
Pravda charges today that the American CIA is helping to finance some Russian emigres in Europe who want to overthrow the Soviet regime. And Pravda says the CIA is not getting its money's worth. The group is known as NTS, Russian initials for Popular Labor Alliance, and is not taken very seriously outside the Kremlin. Pravda says NTS agents duped the CIA by transmitting fabricated reports to Washington, then feeding substantiating tips anonymously to London and Bonn. Thus tricked, the CIA allegedly pays out more dollars, with which Pravda says this scum cooks up dirty brochures that preach sabotage and destruction on the territory of the Soviet Union. This all stems from the trial of a British teacher, Gerald Brooke, who has pleaded guilty to charges that, as an agent for NTS, he tried to smuggle in printing plates for anti-Soviet literature. Brooke's trial opened yesterday on a stage in the Moscow Art Workers Theater. Russian sources freely predict it will end today, and that Brooke, who is 27, will be sentenced to 5 years in jail. Walter Lister, CBS News, Moscow.
Averill Harriman, who spent last week in Moscow talking with the Russians, is now doing likewise in Bonn with the uneasy West Germans. Daniel Shaw reports from Bonn.
Roving Ambassador Averill Harriman is putting in 2 days reassuring German officials he did nothing against German interest in his 10 days in Moscow. It's understood Harriman is giving the Germans a flat assurance that he did not offer to jettison proposals for an allied nuclear force with German participation, either in return for Soviet mediation in Vietnam or for an agreement to halt the spread of nuclear weapons. In fact, it's understood the still secret British proposal on the nuclear spread to be reviewed by the NATO Council in Paris on Monday before the disarmament conference resumes in Geneva on Tuesday. This American-supported plan specifically reserves the right to proceed with plans for an allied nuclear force. The Russians are expected to raise the roof of the Geneva Palace of Nations on this subject. Yet Harriman, as he told me, came away from Moscow convinced that the Soviets are sincerely interested in making progress on disarmament, especially in the field of halting the spread of nuclear weapons. I also have the impression from him that, contrary to widespread speculation, Vietnam did not play a major role in his Moscow talks, which appear to be more designed to keep contact with the Kremlin in spite of Vietnam. This is Daniel Shaw, CBS News, Bonn.
The political crisis continues unabated today in Greece, marked now by the funeral of a student killed in this week's rioting. Winston Burdett reports from Athens.
The funeral procession of a 25-year-old Athens student became a highly organized political demonstration in the jammed streets of downtown Athens this morning, with thousands of slogan-shouting men, women, and children following the hearse to the city's main cemetery. The student was killed in a street clash with the police the night before last, and last evening, former Prime Minister George Papandreou called on Athenians to honor a fighter for democracy. An estimated 150,000 people answered the call today, packing the square around the city's Greek Orthodox Cathedral and lining the procession route. The government says that the student was a communist. In any case, it was the EDA, the Greek Communist Party, that organized and financed the funeral, complete with hundreds of giant wreaths, squads of activists to control the crowd, and cheerleaders. The crush was so heavy around the cathedral that the organizers had to call on the police to help clear a way for the hearse. Women fainted and were carried off, but there were no clashes, no casualties. Winston Burdett, CBS News, Athens.
The Senate today debates one of the thorniest issues to come before it all year. This is Senator Dirksen's proposed constitutional amendment on legislative reapportionment. What the Republican minority leader wants to do, in essence, is overturn the Supreme Court's one-man, one-vote decision. The Senate battle may be a long one. Today in Texas, a statewide alert and a continuing search for two missing girls. Joe Roddy of station KTBC reports the story from Austin.
The whereabouts of two University of Texas co-eds missing since last Sunday is still a question this morning. Susan Rigsby and Shirley Ann Stark, both from Dallas and both 21, drove here to Austin early Sunday morning. On Monday, Miss Rigsby planned to enroll in summer school at the university where both girls attended last semester. She did not complete the process. So far, the only two major clues have been the finding of a large bundle of clothing belonging to both girls, and the automobile in which the two were last seen was located behind an apartment house near the university campus. Several stains found on the front seat have now been identified by police chemists as human blood. Investigators say there is still no concrete evidence the girls met with violence, but the statewide alert for them says that foul play is feared and concern for their safety grows as each hour passes. On this fifth day of the search, agents of the FBI are expected to officially enter the case of the two missing co-eds. Joe Roddy in Austin, Texas.
In Miami, Florida, 34-year-old Richard Pearson and 22-year-old Elaine Dennison, described as an ex-bunny, are under arrest, charged with a Sunday burglary of the Jordan Marsh department store. Police arrested Pearson as he opened a bus station locker that contained $150,000 worth of stolen jewels. By an odd coincidence, the locker was just five lockers away from the one that once held the Star of India. Also, Pearson is a friend of Jack Murphy, better known as Murph the Surf, who was involved in the Star of India theft. News of the August 1962 mail truck robbery in Plymouth, Massachusetts. The Boston Herald, in a copyrighted story, says postal authorities have enough evidence to obtain six indictments in that $1.5 million robbery. According to the Boston Herald, officials have delayed bringing the case before a federal grand jury while they make a frantic, last-ditch attempt to recover about $500,000 of the loot. This is Dallas Thompson, CBS News. In a moment, the weather forecast for the New York metropolitan area.
It's 12 and one-half minutes past 8. This morning, how would you rank the taste of your cigarette? Good? Fair? Not so good? Well, if you're not satisfied, today's the day to start enjoying the good taste of Kent. Because when you light up a Kent, you've got a good thing going. You've got the good taste of vintage tobaccos, flavor blended to taste, mild and mellow. And you've got the Kent filter for extra good taste. Now, doesn't that add up to the kind of smoking enjoyment you're looking for? It is to most New Yorkers, so why not join in the smoking pleasure? Light up a Kent, and you've got a good thing going. Looking at the weather, the Central Park temperature at 8 o'clock, 67 degrees, humidity 76%, the barometer reads an even 30 inches and is steady, the wind southwest at 7 miles per hour, it's cloudy in Manhattan, and the THI is 66. The forecast calls for mostly cloudy this morning, becoming fair this afternoon, with highest temperatures reaching into the middle 80s, fair tonight, lowest in the middle 60s, Saturday mostly sunny, quite warm and humid, highest temperatures around 90 inland to the 80s at the shore. This morning's temperature, 67 degrees. And the time is 8:14. Listen again tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock to the CBS World News Roundup with Dallas Townsend. Today's program has been presented by Kent, the cigarette that gives you good taste from the Kent filter and good vintage tobaccos. Light up a Kent, and you've got a good thing going. The World News Roundup was taped in part and produced under the supervision and control of CBS News. Art Hanna speaking.